Footy Roundup, Rob Sirjanik, Matt Tidcombe. Matty, what is going on with TFC? Quite the fiasco they had in yet another match, although they did get a result from it.
Yeah, I mean, I think they would have taken a point going into the game. Anytime you can get an away point is usually quite a good result. But, I mean, at the end of the day, Rob, they were completely robbed of 3 points. You know, you get the Dwayne Di Rosario equaliser in the 89th minute. You know, deep into stoppage time, Gilberto sneaks in behind the defence. Defender trying to hold him off, and he pokes the ball between his legs and to the back of the net. And I don't know what the referee disallowed the goal for. Obviously, it was something to do with like a push or his hand in his back. But basically, the ref was wrong. And TFC got robbed of 2 extra points.
I think doubly disappointing, Matty, for TFC was it seemed to be maybe they had a point of rallying with this. Like something right. That could have been a turning point to finally get some positive momentum going forward. And then to have that happen, where do they go from here?
Well, that's the thing, right? I mean, they actually played a pretty good game overall, I thought. And, you know, they had a lot of momentum. And then you get the winner, so you think, to carry into the next game. But, I mean, TFC can take what they got out of that game and move forward. Because, like I said, a waypoint is a good result. But, I mean, at the end of the day, the talking point is not how good of an away point it was. It was how TFC were robbed of 2 extra points.
And on that end, Matty, Michael Bradley had some choice words after the match for the official. And I'll play it for you right now, what he had to say.
And when you see how much every guy here puts into it, and now, you know, the performance over the course of 90 minutes, still what goes into it, and to have 2 points taken from you at the end of the game, it's just not good enough. And so, like I said, the league can make all the excuses they want. They can say that they're, you know, working with Pro and, you know, bringing Peter Walton in to do all this kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, it's just not even close to being good enough, because consistently they put referees out there that are just in over their head.
Referees out there that are in over their head. He didn't mince words at all in this.
No, he got directly to the point. I've never been a big fan of MLS referees. I think they're quite poor for the most part. And it showed again at the weekend. Bradley's spot on, to be honest. You know, it's not the first time TFC have been kind of robbed or had some dubious decision go against them this season. The thing for me as well is how Bradley said, you know, the referee didn't even look him in the eye when he was trying to get an explanation at the end of the game.
There was, quote, just nothing.
Yeah, which is bang on. Like, referees have... There's one thing I do really dislike about soccer is a referee is never held for his actions. You know, the media never get to talk to them.
Or at least not that we're aware of. It would only be behind closed doors.
Exactly,
somehow.
But even still, it never makes it into the media, like why a referee made his decision. Like, he never has a chance to rationale his thought process. And, you know, you look at the game and Bradley's trying to get away with the ref, and, you know, stadium personnel and police are out there protecting the referee. And it's like, no, like, the ref needs to explain his actions to... you know, to one of the team's captains and club players. Like, I mean, there's no excuse for it, really.
It seemed that Bradley, the disgust was almost greater, Matty, in the fact that there was no discussion about it than the fact that, you know, him actually trying to change the call. Because, as you know, like, that never happens
It's never going to get overturned, but you want a reasoning. You want an explanation as to why this was the call. If the referee maybe turned around and said, I saw Gilberto elbow him in the back. All right, fair enough. You've got some sort of an explanation. Doesn't necessarily make it a good one.
Or that you agree with it.
Exactly, but you have something. But it seems the ref didn't have a word to say to Bradley or any of the TFC players. So, I mean, I guess for TFC, in terms of where they are in the standings, Rob, you know, they're still 3 points back in the playoffs. They're seventh in the East now.
It's all to play for, really.
It is. I mean, I looked earlier. I was actually surprised to see they still had 7 games left. I thought it was down a little less than that. But, you know, they still got a good chance here. You know, they're not out of the run if they can get the foe back. You know, Gilberto has been playing fairly well still. Bradley's playing well, too. So,
do you think this is something, Matt, that they can build on? Or do you feel like they're going to be maybe overly discouraged or just thinking about this a little too much? I'd like to think it would be the former.
Yeah, I don't think they can concern themselves anymore with it. They, you know, there's no point.
It's done now, yeah.
Exactly. There's no point looking back and saying, oh, damn. But you can take, like I said, I think they had a good performance overall. And they can take that moving forward. You know, they played Chivas USA this weekend, who are the worst team in the West and second worst team in the league. I mean, there is no reason not to get 3 points in this game. Because, yeah. I mean, if they want to make the playoffs be serious about it, this is a must-win game.
Yep, agreed. What about the results we've seen over the big leagues, Matty, the last week or so? Some really interesting results that came in. I mean, Arsenal-Man City, I think we both projected that 2-2 high-scoring draw. It came to fruition. It just felt like that kind of game. What were your thoughts?
It was a good game. You know, Man City went 1-0 out for Aguero, and then Arsenal scored 2 really, really good goals. Kind of like typical Arsenal. Arsenal have this reputation of Sanchez's goal was fantastic. Like Arsenal have this reputation of A, scoring late goals, but B, also scoring really good goals.
Now, late goals at home, like you mentioned too.
Right. Like the goals weren't late this week, which makes a nice change for Arsenal, but you know, they were the part B, which is they were really, really good goals. Like you said, Sanchez's goal was a beauty. So, you know, I think for most, you know, Man City will be happy with an away draw there. I mean, I think every time you go to one of the top four or five teams, there's no reason not to be disappointed with an away point.
I don't even know how much Arsenal is going to be disappointed. It's not a bad result for them either. It just felt like one of those games where, you know, two top flight teams were going to scrap for the result and it would just fall where it fell. The other one, Maddie, my upset special, Liverpool falling to Aston Villa.
Yeah.
Bad result for Liverpool.
It is. That's exactly the kind of result that cost them the league last season. And it's the kind of result that could cost them the league this season. You know, Gabriel Bonglahori, who signed a new deal, I believe, as well with Villa. He's been there for a long time now. I think a four-year deal extension with Villa. So, I mean, Villa are playing so well this year.
Yeah.
I mean, they are right up there at the top of the table. I believe they're second in the league now after Swansea lost.
That's a pretty legit result they just picked up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone saw Villa having this kind of start to a season. You know, we always say there's a couple of teams who have a good start to the year.
And then peter out a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's still early. It's very early, actually. But, I mean, this is kind of a good start for Villa, who may drop as the season progresses, but at least this kind of start probably takes them away from the relegation battle for the year anyway.
I mean, I think we both consider Liverpool one of the stronger sides, I should say, Matt, in the EPL, right. But not really a bona fide contender, at least
not
at this stage.
Not this year. Yeah. I mean, you know, not getting goals here, and, you know, obviously losing Suarez, you know, I don't disagree with them getting rid of him for what he did and his actions and, you know, all the biting, but, you know, as much as I love Ricky Lambert, he's not going to come in and score 30 goals. So
Balotelli brings the attitude, but not the same track record on goals.
You know, I mean, Suarez might bang 30 and Balotelli might get close to 20 kind of thing. So it's going to be one of those things where some players really need to, like midfield guys, really need to step in, you know, like Jordan Henderson and, you know, Stevie G needs to probably score a few more goals than he usually does because they don't have that, you know, guy who's going to bang you 25, 30 goals. Balotelli, you know, and Sturridge is, you know, really good too. So, I mean, between those guys, they should, you know, score a lot of goals, but I think they're going to need some midfield help.
Your thoughts on Lallana in the match, Matt?
I thought he played well. I didn't see much of the game, to be honest with you. But, you know, Lallana, I like him. I think he's a good England player. Well, he will be a good England player moving forward. So, you know, he's young and inexperienced to some extent still, especially at a big flight club. So,
yeah, I believe that was his home debut too, so it's going to take him a little bit to get settled in there.
Right.
Man U'd really turned things around in a big way.
Yeah, they did. They needed that result. I mean, QPR are having a terrible season. That's the second 4-0 defeat of the year they've had. I mean, Man United, I guess, you know, they got the players they want to see out there. You know, Rooney scored and Di Maria got on the score sheet, set up another for Juan Mata. So, and Falcao made his debut late. I mean, that's the perfect time for him to make his debut, kind of in a blowout and kind of get a run out of the field for 15, 20 minutes. So
he didn't start. How did you feel about that? I mean, Louis van Gaal was basically saying that he was jet-lagged, which I think was his excuse for, I don't want to cause controversy by pulling like Van Persie or Rooney out of my lineup in the first game.
Right. I don't think it's that big of a deal. The guy's going to start a lot of games and score a lot of goals. I mean, he's new. I don't know how much he trained with the team beforehand. So.
Yeah.
And it's QPR. Like, I mean, come on. Like, I don't.
It's going to be interesting to see how Van Gaal puts all these pieces together, though.
Oh, the United.
To get them all out at once. Are you going to go 4-3-3 and just shift your formation?
It's like, you know, we talk about how like scary Real Madrid look on paper. And
Manu's getting there now, yeah.
Manu are fully there. When you consider you've got Rooney, Van Persie, Falcao, Di Maria.
How good has Di Maria been?
He's been unbelievable.
He was even playing centrally in that last game and still spraying out wide. It was the most fluid midfield diamond, Matty, I think I've ever seen. They showed it during the game. And at one point, Blind was right behind the strikers. Di Maria was picking up the trash from his own end and coming forward with the ball. Yeah. There's going to be a lot of movement and attacking with this team, I think.
He might. You know, I saw something the other day. It was actually a comparison between Man United and Liverpool. And you know how Liverpool spent like $25 million on three different players? It was funny. It's like, you know, maybe sometimes spending $75 million on one player is better than buying three guys for the same price. I mean, and that might be one of these situations because Di Maria's already lighting up the Premier League and it's only been a handful of games so far.
Yeah, they just, Manu just threw around some silly money. I think they knew what they were dealing with the likes of Chelsea, Matt, and they just didn't want to get left behind.
Talking of Chelsea.
Yep.
They're the only team left now in the league who has 100% record. 4-2 home win against Swansea. Rob
Diego Costa.
That's all that needs to be
said. And Cesc Fabregas. Remember I mentioned these guys?
Man. Everyone knows Diego Costa is good, But holy moly, is
he's clinical. Almost every touch is a goal at this
point. It's incredible.
7, I think he has.
Yeah, he could be out 20 for all I know. I mean, the guy is just scoring nonstop.
Yeah.
He's got more goals than some teams have in the whole season. I mean,
I saw the stat, Matt. He was the first player in the Premier League to score in his first four matches since Mickey Quinn.
Who?
Seconded.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
that gives you an idea how long ago that was, too.
He's been so good. And I mean, the thing I'm having with Chelsea is everyone wants to compare what Costa's doing to Torres. And I think I read something that it took Torres like 40 games to score his first four Premier League goals for Chelsea. And I mean, let's leave the Torres thing out.
What would it take Costa 300 minutes?
Well, exactly, right? I mean, he was injured obviously going into the World Cup and was pretty much ineffective at the World Cup. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's fully healthy and he's raring.
Is there any question he's been the best transfer signing so far?
It's not even close.
It's not even close. I mean, could you make a case Fabregas is the second?
Yeah, you probably could because he's been dynamite. And like I said, I think a couple of weeks ago, maybe even last week, you know, you kind of forgot how good Fabregas was when we went to Barcelona. Because, there's so much talent on that team. Not that there isn't on Chelsea, but now he's back in the Premier League. Like, wow, I really remember how good this guy was. Because from what we knew him at Arsenal, and half the reason, you know, he left at Barcelona, I mean.
I think what's nice with him too, Matt, is he gets in a situation here where he gets to play a creative fulcrum behind a true number nine, which he hasn't had too much of his career in Spain.
You know, and he gets some really good players on his wings, you know, like Eden Hazard and André Schürrle.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, this Chelsea
Oscar
is extremely good. I mean, don't get, like, Chelsea, I mean, they are definitely hands-down favorites so far. 4 wins in 4 games. A couple of other results that kind of just caught my eye, Rob. Sunderland drawing 2-2 with Spurs. Spurs...
A little disappointing for Spurs.
Yeah, you got to look at it that way. Yeah. But then Sunderland are like, well, that's a good home point for us. So
maybe not a little bit less quality version, but a similar mentality of the Arsenal-Man City tie in a way.
Yeah, in a way,
Both teams are sort of not completely disappointed with the result. But not thrilled.
Well, yeah, exactly. The other two that caught my eyes, Newcastle got hammered again. They lost 4-0 at Southampton. Newcastle looked terrible this year. And the other one that was Everton winning 2-0 away at West Brom. You know, Everton every year are kind of always trying to sneak into that fourth Champions League position. I wouldn't say they're quite good enough this year to pull it off. But, you know, they've had a pretty good start to the year. Lukaku keeps scoring. I always can't ever get over how much money they spent on him to sign him permanently from Chelsea. But so far, I mean, he's been worth every penny. He's been really, really good for them.
Moving on to La Liga. Atletico 2, Real 1.
Yeah, at the Bernabeu as well. I mean, Real with a home team. I mean, Real are 13th in the table. They're already 6 points behind Barcelona.
I think last show, Maddie, we were saying we wouldn't be too stunned to see Atletico get a result here, but pick them to out and out win, I think, would be a little bit bold.
Yeah, and exactly, right? I mean, Thiago Mendes and Alvaro Torres scored the goals for Atletico. Ronaldo got a penalty for Real Madrid. I don't know what's going on with Real Madrid, Rob. They just haven't clicked so far this year.
They seem like they're struggling to create a bit, too.
Which is mind-boggling with what they have.
It's almost too many cooks in the kitchen with all, you know, the quality. It's about finding a way to make it mesh. And sometimes it's not the popular decision, Maddie. But, you know, occasionally you need to be considering putting one of these star guys starting on the bench.
Yeah, as I say, you know, maybe...
Bringing a different type of player behind
you. You might hate me for someone like Modric might have to be the guy who sits on the bench for some games. Or even, Cruz first, Rodriguez or... Yeah, I mean, there's... I mean, Ronaldo obviously will be every week.
But yeah, and Bale when fit.
And Bale as well. Yeah. But, you know, some other guys I think how Man United are going now, is that they have almost too much star power up front.
I mean, you can even come up with a good situation where you're rotating guys. You can't go wrong. These guys will be fresher come, you know, Champions League, which we'll touch on in a little bit, and some of the other bigger matches. Do you want your star guy playing week in and week out when you have that many solid players right behind him?
Right, but I mean, like, playing Atletico at home is, you know, at that top game, right? That's a game you need your best 11 on the field. So, I don't know. I think Real have got their money cut out for them this year. You know, like I said, they're 6 points behind Barcelona. So, I mean, Barcelona picked up a 2-0 win at home to Atletico Bilbao at the weekend. Neymar came on as a substitute and scored twice. So, I mean, there's an example of maybe leaving the guy on the bench just to bring him on.
And, I mean, Barca, I don't think, has looked extremely dominant for large stretches of
really
the season, but the most important thing is you got to pick up the results in the beginning, even if they're, you know, you're struggling for them, or, you know, it's a greasy road tie here or there. These points add up at the end,
yes,
and at the end of the day, you just want them in your pocket.
Well, exactly, and, you know, the other thing as well, this Barcelona game, and I don't understand this stuff, but Barcelona and Bilbao both played in their away jerseys. I was like, why? anyway, but that doesn't make sense to me. I guess the other big early, I mean, they've only played three games in La Liga, but Valencia and Sevilla, the other two teams at the top of the table, they've won two of their three and drawn their other one. Good starts for both those teams.
Yep.
Valencia beat Espanyol 3-1, Sevilla beat Getafe 2-0. And I just penned it down here just as a reference, but remember how Real Madrid blew that 2-0 lead against Real Sociedad last weekend? Well, 2 weekends ago now after the international break. Sociedad went and drew 2-2 at Celta Vigo. So take that as you will. But basically, the big story in La Liga is definitely Real Madrid's slow start to the season.
How about Serie A, Matt? Inter laying a touchdown on Sassuolo there.
Holy moly. I mean, 7-0.
I mean, there's definitely a gulf in class between these two teams, which is obviously an understatement. But a 7-0?
I mean, every time there's a 7-0, no matter who it is, it's always a surprise. Because in soccer, it's just so rare. You might see 4-5-0 games, but, you know, like I said, a touchdown is it's a lot of goals. I mean, Icardi got 3 goals. Your boy Kovacic picked up a goal. And Osvaldo, former Roma, Juventus, Southampton, and whoever else. I mean, he's played for a lot of teams now. But
looking sharp in those pinstripe jerseys, I have to say, too. There's been a little bit of talk about, you know, they want to go back to the regular, what some fans of, you know, Juventus always has the same black and white stripes that some of the Inter fans want to go back to the more traditional. I think it's a sharp look, though. You change it up a little bit here or there, it still stays true to what Inter is.
Well, people always buy it anyway, right? I mean,
it's a new shirt. Yeah,
it's a new shirt every year. That's how soccer teams make so much money. It's just replacing that shirt every
year. At least that was a legitimate alteration instead of, hey, here's a new
sponsor
symbol on it.
Oh, yeah, exactly, right, which is what a lot of these teams do. But I guess as well in Serie A, Roma, they stayed top with Juve with a 1-0 away win at Empoli, an own goal around halftime. One of those goals where Nainggolan's shot from about 25 yards out hit the post, hit the goalie in the back of the head, and rolled over the line. So
just how you drew it up.
Exactly. Take it as it is. Juve 2-0 home win over Udinese. Same old Juve, same week. Same story, right? Tevez, Marchisio over the goals.
Maddie, what about Milan Parma?
Parma 4-5.
Nine goals.
Unbelievable. And this game had everything. Like, it had red cards. It had goals.
It had goals, that's for sure.
Own goals. It had goalkeeper. Like, it had everywhere. I mean,
Jeremy Mena's goal.
I think that's the talking point of this whole game. For those of you who haven't seen it,
Google it.
See it. Google it. YouTube it. Twitter it, whatever you have to do to find this goal.
To beat the keeper on the goal line and that agility to cut back.
So as a quick rundown of what he did, he basically got the defender headed the ball back towards his goalie. Menez runs around the defender,
chips it past the keeper,
the goalkeeper, but the ball is going out of play, and he runs to the ball as the ball is basically on the byline, and he kicks it literally across the face of the goal. Now, obviously, this isn't going in. So he runs across the face of the goal.
Beats the goalie to the spot.
With a goalie and two defenders behind him. And he doesn't just chip it in. He backheels
it,
flips it up into the air and into the net. Every season, there's always people who say...
That's a near impossible goal to score in FIFA.
That's impossible to score in FIFA. Yeah. I
the goalie's too good.
Yeah, well, that too.
He beats
and
you every time.
And Harry rating isn't good enough on
you
FIFA.
You just hit triangle. It's not happening. The goalie's getting to that.
Every season, there's people who, like, I don't know, the first couple of weeks, people say, oh, that's goal of the season, and they just overreact to everything. And this genuinely will be one of the top five goals, maybe not just in Serie A, but maybe in European football for the whole season. It was that good. Milan are top with Roma and Juve, you know, 2 wins out of 2. So, I mean, but yeah, that Milan goal. And then an own goal from De Ciglio. He basically passed the ball back to Diego Lopez from halfway. The ball takes this huge bounce over Diego Lopez's leg, into the net, and to make matters worse, Diego Lopez is now injured because of that, and he's out for a couple of weeks now. I know he's not playing in Champions League this week, so not Champions League because Milan are not in the Champions League, but he's not playing the next couple of weeks. Sorry. So their game had red cards too. It was fantastic.
Just
it was
one
of the games.
Wild
of the
show
already.
In the Serie A.
You know, you had like Everton 6-3 game with Chelsea, and I think Palmer's 5-4 with Milan is up there for games of the season so far.
It would be unbelievable for the neutral, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, the last of the big leagues, the Bundesliga, the Leverkusen-Dortmund match, 3-3. That lived up to my billing last week and then some, I would say.
I mean, Leverkusen, I mean, I guess in a way you have to be kind of disappointed. Like, Werder Bremen scored in the 86th minute, I believe, to tie it, you know, at 3-3. So I think Leverkusen, especially after the good start they've had, would be a little disappointed with that result. But I mean, I know one of your boys, Rob, Ševčević had an unbelievable goal for Leverkusen to open the scoring.
Oh yeah, Tin Yedva came all the way up from like the right back position and just launched an absolute rocket to beat the keeper.
I think if the net wasn't there, the ball's still traveling. I mean, that thing was flying. And Ševčević is actually on loan from Roma, so I've seen him play a little bit, you know, from all the Roma games I watch. And he's, what is he, Rob? 19?
18?
I mean, he's a young, young guy, and he looks really good early. So I guess, you know, like I said, Leverkusen had a really good start. They played Champions League this week too, but I think in a way you have to be disappointed with a 3-3 result, but, you know, they're still top of the table. Bayern Munich are there with them. Bayern beat Stuttgart 2-0. Götze and Rieber with the goals. And Dortmund 3-1 over Freiburg. Shinji Kagawa, who left Man United to go back to Dortmund. It was Dortmund who... He was at Dortmund, joined United, and then went back to Dortmund just at the end of the transfer window. He had a goal and an assist, so he looks good. He was always really good at Dortmund, which is why he moved to United, but couldn't quite get things to click at United, and now he's back with his Dortmund side. And I guess the other big early surprise in Germany is Hannover, who are second in the league. They beat Hamburg 2-0. So, and Schalke are struggling, which is, I guess, also another big result.
Just for the listeners earlier, I did say Leverkusen-Dortmund. They didn't play twice in the same day.
No, they didn't.
It was Leverkusen-Bremen, as Maddie corrected me.
And Dortmund have actually already beaten Leverkusen in the first game of the season.
So maybe they would want to play them again.
Yes, maybe they will. Yeah, Leverkusen, good start to Leverkusen. It's nice to see someone else up there with Dortmund and Bayern Munich.
It is. I mean, a competitive Bundesliga, I think, is a better Bundesliga ultimately.
Yeah, and a very quick side note on Ligue 1. Early leaders, Rob, are Lille, Marseille, and Bordeaux, not Lyon or PSG or Monaco. So take that as you will in France. France is always an interesting league because there's always something weird happening every season in that league. But anyway, on to Champions League.
Yep, Champions League begins today, Matt. We got groups A through H here. We're going to give a quick rundown for our listeners as well as our picks. I guess not dissimilar, Matt, from what we did during the World Cup, and then see how we do afterwards.
We're going to do eight
better,
groups,
hopefully.
Eight groups in about 8 minutes.
Yeah, instead of eight shows.
Not over eight, four shows, whatever it was.
And hopefully we'll do a little even better with the picks this time than the World Cup. So group A, we have Atletico, Juventus, Olympiacos, and Malmo. Your quick thoughts.
Atletico, Juve. This isn't really up for debate. Too much talent on both those teams. You know, Atletico, Mandzukic, Klinsmann, Koke, Cersei, Godin, too good. And Juve, we know how good Juve are. Every year they're the same, so no worries there. Atletico and Juve to go through.
I have the exact same. Group B, we have Real Madrid, Basel, Liverpool, and Ludogorets. You're going with Ludogorets, I'm thinking?
Oh, maybe. no, I think I like Group A. I think the pick is pretty easy here. It's Real Madrid and Liverpool for me. Basel, however you say it.
Not the same Basel from Austin Powers, if anyone's wondering.
They're always a good little side, I find. Yeah. And I don't think you can put it past that they might nip Liverpool.
Yep. My thoughts were the same. Liverpool's one of those teams that, I mean, look at the result with Villa they just had.
Well, exactly, right? And Basel are kind of that Villa coming into Liverpool in a way, right? So I don't think Ludogorets would do anything. They might snag a point somewhere. But for me, it's Liverpool, Real Madrid.
Same. Group C, I think, Maddie, might
this
be
is the, open, big, most
the
open
most
group.
Even, most competitive group. I think you can easily make a case for selecting any of the two here. We have Benfica, Zenit St. Petersburg, Leverkusen, and Monaco. My initial instincts were Benfica, Leverkusen. I've adjusted. I'm going Zenit, Leverkusen, and Group C.
I'm actually with you. I also actually did have Benfica when I saw the draw, but Zenit just, I think, have too much talent. You know, they have, I got it right here, they have, obviously, Holt, Gray, Danny, Arshavin, Kershakov, Rondon, Axel, Witzel, Belt. Like, too
it seems
much
like
talent.
Basically all the top Russian guys are playing there, more or less.
For the most part, right. So, it's CSKA Moscow, also the other good Russian guys. So, Zenit and Leverkusen. Monaco, I think they can't. They're not having a good start to the League One season. Obviously, no Falcao. James Rodriguez isn't there anymore. Leverkusen, good start in Serie A and too much talent. You know, Lars Bender, Julian Brandt, Josip Dermić, one of your Croatians. Keebling up front, so too much talent. Zenit, who's going to be first or second, I'm not sure, but this is a really open group. I have Zenit and Leverkusen making it out of here.
Yeah, I do too, but at the end of the day, would Benfica, Monaco surprise
you? Can't be
you?
Shocked if any,
not really.
Any of them go through.
Group D, Arsenal, Dortmund, Galatasaray, Anderlecht. I feel like Dortmund...
This is a tough group.
I think Dortmund's fairly safe here.
Yeah, I do
too. The one that question is, can Galatasaray pip Arsenal? I think they can. My money would be on Arsenal, albeit not super convincing. I would say Dortmund and Arsenal here.
Yeah, I am actually with you on this one too. Galatasaray, you know... they
Tricky side.
Wesley Schneider still plays. I remember Didier Drogba was there previously.
Altintop is there.
Yeah, Altintop. Whoever got Goran Pandic is there. Yilmaz, Philippe Melo is still kicking around there. Emmanuel Aboué is there.
Yep.
Galatasaray are a good team. Don't let them fool you how good that team are.
You know, Matt, when you were talking about teams where you're happy to get a result on the road internationally,
oh yeah,
Galatasaray more than qualifies here.
Absolutely.
If you get anything out of that, even if your goal difference is taken care of, you're not disappointed.
Yeah, even Anderlecht can, you know, you could argue is a tough road game as well. But, you know, I think Dortmund have too much talent. Ciro Immobile, Marco Rus, Mitakarin, Hummels, that's too deep. They're too good. And Arsenal,
in good form, too.
In good form as well, like you said. And Arsenal, yeah, missing Olivier Giroud isn't going to help them. But, you know, Alexis Sanchez has stepped up and played well. Jack Wilshere is playing well early on. So
Arsenal, to me, they're just Liverpool-y in the sense, not Tottenham-y, not to be confused with last week. I just don't fully trust them in Champions League. And that's why it's just enough to make me pause. But I would still, I'd probably edge Dortmund above Arsenal for first in this group,
I think
in my
opinion. Would, too. And Dortmund hosts Arsenal in the first game of the Champions League in that group. So that's a big first game for both sides there.
Moving on to Group E, quite the group here.
This is a tough group.
Just loaded, really. Group. Bayern Munich.
I hate it for Roma.
Bayern Munich, Man City, CSKA Moscow, and Roma. I think we agree on Bayern. It's going to be close, but they should be safe here.
Taking Bayern. I'm maybe a bit of heart here too, but Roma is my second pick here. They're going to pit Man City. I think Moscow cannot be running off in this group.
No.
They have some really good players. Dumbia up front, Roman Eremenko, Bibas Nacho, some other really, really good players on that team. I just think Roma, they haven't been in the Champions League for so many years now because they just struggled so much. This is their first year back. I think they're going to be motivated. They're better. They're playing well early on in Serie A. So Bayern, I think Bayern will win the group, but I think Roma are going to pit Man City. It might be one of those situations, Rob, where actually they have level on tight on points, but you know, goal difference or whatever.
Or head-to-head,
Head-to-head is what sends them through. So
I agree with your pick. I have Bayern first, and I agree with it coming down to the wire, but I got Man City over Roma.
You can't argue. It's
on paper, I think they're a little bit stronger than Roma is. I mean, Roma may have that motivation, but I'm sure Man City would like to win too.
Yeah, Man City need to really move on in the Champions League and get going.
Group F, we have Barcelona, PSG, Ajax, and Apoel from Cyprus. I think Apoel, they're absolutely toast in this group. Ajax is not too bad a team. They're a pretty solid side, actually, but they're going to be really tough here.
They win the Dutch League under Frank de Boer regularly now.
They're going to be in tough with PSG and Barca. Barca, PSG for me, no question.
Yeah, I'm the same. I don't think there's really too much debate here. Ajax will probably give Barca and PSG a run for their money at home. But no, too much depth. I mean, PSG's slow start to the season doesn't help them. But no worries. You're too much depth, too much talent on both these teams. They go through.
Group G, Matty, Chelsea, Schalke, Sporting, and Maribor. Chelsea, you know how I feel about them. I had them. They're my pick to win the English League. I think they go through here in flying colors. And Schalke for second place would be my selection.
Yeah, I did kind of debate if I wanted to put Sporting Lisbon through here. But I am also going with Schalke because of a few reasons. But Julian Draxler is one. Kevin Prince-Boateng, Hawidis Farfan, Kanya Sandler, and they got Timo Hildebrand in goal. So, you know, and Schalke, they've had a bit of a slower start in Bundesliga, but again, I think they're just better than the other two sides, being Sporting and Maribor.
The final group, Group H, we got
what a terrible group this is.
It's a strange group, kind of, too. Porto from Portugal, Shakhtar Donetsk, Athletic Bilbao, and Bate. Porto safe?
Yeah, Porto, and you know, I'm going to say Athletic Bilbao, basically because I don't think the other two teams are better. They're not saying that Bilbao are great themselves. Porto will fly through this group. I don't think there's any question about that. But who comes second? I don't know. Shakhtar might maybe get in there. They've kind of have this tendency to be half decent quite often.
Yeah. To that end, Matt, Shakhtar is my pick here.
You are going to take Shakhtar. I'm going to take Bilbao.
You know, Dario Cerna from Croatia is a captain here. I got to show him a little love. I'm a little bit concerned about, I mean, we don't have much time to touch on this, obviously, but, you know, all the political unrest in Ukraine and Russia and that situation and, you know, how much their mind are going to be on these types of matches and, you know, even the availability of some of these matches or if there's going to be any kind of delays or rioting or issues or what have you. I mean, we obviously have no idea how that's going to play out.
No.
So if that affects their psyche, I mean, Bilbao wouldn't stun me. I think Shakhtar is a better team. In my estimation, I'd say Porto 1, Shakhtar 2 here.
Yeah, Porto through, and then Bilbao maybe, possibly with Shakhtar. I'd say Bilbao just be different, I guess. It's a real toss-up, but Porto are too good. Jackson Martinez is such a good player, the Colombian striker.
Let me assure you, ladies and gentlemen, Matty is definitely different.
But, you know, along with Jackson Martinez, who's really good for Colombia, they got Bruno Martins, remember the Dutch defender?
Yep.
And they got Cristian Tello, who's from Barcelona right now. So Porto, good side, and they're cruise through in this group. So,
well, that wraps it up for our Champions League picks. Matt, that's it for this week.
Another 30 minutes done and dusted.
That's it. We'll be back with you guys next week. Thanks for listening.